Hey, this is Winfrey, and welcome to our Monday night conference call, which is a simulcast between the telephone conference line and BBS radio. So those of you that are listening, we just have people checking into our line, and usually we go through our first part of the call just saying hello to everybody. And, of course, you're welcome to check into our line also directly, listening on BBS. That's also great. So we have Julie in Federal Way, Washington. We have Maya. Where are you, Maya? Hey, Maya, are you talking? Is anybody? Somebody just came on. Would you like to say your name?
This is Suzanne in Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Maya often drops out. She loses her signal over there.
Okay. This is Wynn, and would you like to say your name and your city?
Cuckoo in Nilo.
Is that Maya who dropped out again?
Mm-hmm.
Did you drop
out?
Well,
I hope it doesn't happen again.
Hello, Maya.
Mm-hmm. Who is that?
Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
I explained how you often lose your signal and have to keep coming back in.
Yeah, I'm cleaning a car right now, so it's easy to lose it because the phone is slipping all around us by shoulder.
Oh, dear.
Okay. These are the plights of being human. Okay. Here we are. We're talking to these guys a million light years away. And she's cleaning her car, right?
Why not?
In Hawaii, I'm surprised you don't wait for 20 minutes for the next rain.
Is anyone else on the line? Would you like
I'm here.
Who is that?
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
From La Quinta.
In Quinta?
La Quinta.
Wait a second. You're not in another country.
No, California.
La Quinta. Well, that's near Palm Springs, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's right. I've driven through it many times. I think they have a Comfort Inn in La Quinta.
Probably so.
Okay. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hello, this is Temperance here in Massachusetts.
Hey, Temperance.
How are you doing?
Oh, that email you sent me, that seemed like a fairly good representation, okay?
Okay.
You know,
that's cool.
Now, let me tell you, I don't really, there's people that have much better, how should I say it, intellectual understandings of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as kind of peripherally understand it, that a human can't understand it, but you can try to understand it.
Right.
It's like there are geometries connecting different dimensions, and they're interlocked one inside the other, nesting. And that... There's people that have written about that, and there's lots of books about it. They call it sacred geometry. And I don't really... I read sacred about that, and I said, how do I understand this? I can't quite understand it. I can't grasp it. So what I started to grasp, what I did grasp, is that... that we were actually moving through all those sacred geometries, but we didn't have to understand them. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Understanding it intellectually did not give one the ability necessarily to move through their consciousness into other dimensions.
Uh-huh.
But it's like when you make contact with consciousness that the top of those dimensions, then you automatically start moving through consciousness, whether you understand it or not. but it's a vibration that you connect with.
That's right.
That I came to understand it. Who else is on the line? I'd like to say their name and their city.
Thank you.
Does one want to identify themselves? Of course, we're on BBS radio. Everyone's hearing you. There's a ding. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Sharon from West Virginia.
Wait a second. You didn't say Sarah, did you?
Sharon.
Sharon, that's right. Sharon. And who else just came? This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hello, it's Marianne in Chula Vista.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
And who else just came in to say your name and your city?
This is Carol from Arkansas.
Carol?
Mm-hmm.
And anyone else? Anyone else? Hey, do any of you guys have a question? Terry's not on the line. Terry, are you on the line? I think so. She said she was going to dinner, a friend of hers tonight. So if there's a question, I'll have to answer it. Always try to. But before I meet everybody, does anyone have a question of something that's been burning on their minds about all of this? Maya.
I have actually.
Pardon me?
I have actually.
Who is that?
It's Sherry.
Sherry. Go ahead, Sherry.
I've been reading and have read quite a few of Neil Diamond Walsh, The Conversations with God. Does this correlate? I see some of it does, but, you know, what do you think of that? Or have you read it?
I have read it. In fact, I actually remember liking it quite a bit, okay? I'll make a comment about that and see if anyone else has a question.
You're getting a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
When I mute everybody in just a moment, and that'll fix it, okay? So there won't be... Okay, let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6.
And let me start the recording.
Please enter your subscriber PIN followed by the pound sign. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay. So now you're muted and we're being recorded. And Sherry asked about Neil Donald Walsh. Now, let me say in general, in many cases, I would decline to comment on other people. And because everyone has their own perspective, and the key is there are some people who are negative, some people who are service to self, there's some people that have channelings of mixed polarities, there's people that have channelings of service to self that look like they're service to others, and the last thing I want to do is being the bottom line on everyone else's work. And even my own work, when it comes to channeling, and even David Wilcox's work when it comes to channeling, David in the book, it said David's source said both David and Casey both had negative sources communicating to them at different times. So, you know, one of the things that's most important is learning how for me or anyone to say that's negative or that's positive, but to learn discernment so that you can look for the signs of negative and positive. Now, one of the things I've learned about channeling in this history of doing it is that channel has to work with the conscious belief patterns and thoughts of the channel. They have to do that. Positive channels have to do that. So, if you listen to the channelings of both Daphne and Terry, and I told you that it was the same source speaking, yet they're so different, the way they're expressed through the two of them. And the reason is, well, it seems like, I would say, that in Terry's case, they seem to blend with the energy of Terry, and it's coming through as a, how can I say it, a blending of her and them all together. And in Daphne's case, it seems like they're feeding words into her, and she's saying the words, which sometimes would allow Daphne to come through with more specific information, like Edgar Casey did, rather than Terry, who is blending. So she works with more like concepts of the way things work. And of course, sometimes Terry comes through with something very, very specific, and it's like trying to feel how it's working when I'm actually communicating with them. That's part of my take on this. Now, in Neil Donald Walsh's case, see, they have, the positive sources have an agenda of sorts, and maybe the agenda is very simple, that how can they use this particular connection for planetary service? And what is planetary service at its most simplest reference? Planetary service would be, how do we uplift the vibration of people? How do we teach them how to uplift their own vibration? How do people empower themselves? And how can they connect with these higher sources in a way that doesn't cause them to give up their power? Because it's very easy, and it's happened historically, that when people have this connection, or these connections, people give up their power. And they say, tell me what to do. If you've been on the calls on Wednesdays, most of the questions are, what do I do? How do I do this? What's my service? So people wonder how to be of service, and they want, actually are inviting something outside of themselves to say, tell me what to do. And, you know, the actual act of being told what to do actually, if a source told you what to do, in most cases, maybe not all cases, but in most cases, a source that would tell you what to do would probably not be a positive source or the highest positive source, because they are taking away your lesson of discernment, your lessons of co-creation. And Jesus, I believe, said, love your neighbor as yourself. And there was an interesting thing in St. Catherine's dialogues where they said, since you can't connect with us directly, you can connect with us through loving your neighbor. And what they're saying is, and I see this very clearly, that it's the co-creation between us that opens up the energies for higher things to come through and for the upliftment of the planet. It's not like you could be sitting there talking to the Elohim or Ra, and that's enough. Although, if you happen to be one of those people that goes into nature and just maybe you can commune with them as an energy, And maybe your karmic path is such that it's very difficult to open up, and you don't know how to open up to other people. And so, you see, there's no exact right or right answer to say this is applicable in all cases, because maybe some people are just commune with higher forces. Maybe they won't get verbal messages, but they'll feel the energy when they pray, and that they'll be very isolated from people, because whenever they connect with people, they for whatever reason, at that point in their evolutionary path, whenever they connect with people, it screws up. And so they become reclusive and just connect with the God force inside them holographically. And they meditate, and they can bring those energies in. And maybe they have to do that for a period of time before they can hold that and be around other people and share it. You know, it's like each of us is so different. Each of us is got our own unique path that you can't make a blanket statement that works for everyone. But I certainly feel, I actually felt that Neil Donald Walsh maybe was connecting to the Ra group. But because there was so much wisdom in their channelings through him. And they used that model of God because it was a way that they could reach lots of people. And in fact, and I said this before, but I'll say it again, the key to the whole concept of God, there's a number of thoughts about the idea of God. And one of the thoughts I've had is that that's been a model that humans have felt comfortable with. And I believe, I don't know if this came through my channelings or something I read, but there was a period of time when, this was brought up in my channelings, and it was also brought up in quite a few other people who have studied this, and some, like Zachariah Sitchin, that humans were bred millions of years ago to be slaves. And that they would, the people or the group that bred humans were actually lower level Elohim who had kind of taken somewhat of a negative role in this realm, and that we're no longer connected to the Elohim at the highest levels. And this is one of the things that happens, that when an Elohim soul comes into this realm, they no longer remember that they're an Elohim, but they do have power, and they do have the ability to control others. So the negative, to some extent, the negative in this realm is somewhat propagated by Elohim that came into this realm and just played their power card. So billions of years ago, they created slaves, and they desired the humans would tend to run off and leave the one enclave. And so they started to tell them that they were God, and that if they left, that they would be punished by them, and that they could hold some control over that being, even if they had left. They could hold an energetic control, or I guess that would be like a curse even. And so, if they could create fear, they could then control that person. So that was, according to some of the readings I've done, the original concept of God. And then through the history of the evolution of humans, that was in the collective unconscious. So when there were various interventions through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the concept of God needed to be used because that's what humans related to. Even with Edgar Cayce, the Ra group never, ever explained to Edgar Cayce that they were a group soul. They just said they were his source, and he related to it as being the Christ. So you can start to see how all the explanations, the verbal explanations, start to fit together, but just using different words to describe the same thing. And the key to this was to create circumstances where people would reach upward or ask. And as long as people asked and made the request and they could tune into the energies, then it didn't matter whether they called back God or some other name, because in this realm, you can't distinguish all these variations. You can only distinguish maybe good energy coming in. Now, of course, I believe that in the course of the Old Testament, not all the incidents of connection between higher realms and this realm were these two positive group souls, and that there were incidents where the negative would come through. And of course, if you read the Old Testament, they talk about sacrifices, they talk about, you know, killing animals, killing children, or killing your brother or whatever. And I don't believe that was these two group souls that were asking that. But, you know, even today, we hear stories of the negative and sacrifices. So that's why the history of human evolution and connection with the higher realms has been so skewed and so difficult, because people get the idea that somebody has a voice coming through them, and that voice would be, if it said it was the Elohim in week one and 2 weeks later the voice said it was the Elohim, how would you know it's not the negative impersonating the Elohim? How could you tell? So you need to have very tight reins on discernment. And at different points in my own unfoldment in this, there were times when I went back and forth between Daphne and Terry to make something confirmed, so that if it was an important decision, that I could get the same information from both of them to help the decision. And usually these were only things which had to do with the evolution of our group, because there have been times when I was absolutely sure the negative was intervening and trying to derail this work, and but I had to confirm it because it was beyond my ability. So in those circumstances, I would ask questions. And, you know, because it's very interesting to be in the center of this and trying to figure it out, because despite what anyone might think, I can never give up my own level of discernment and checking it out. And that goes for you too, who are all listening, that you can't give up your own discernment. You can't say, Wynn's got all the answers, or let me just, you know, memorize everything in the book. And because as soon as you open yourself up to higher dimensions and higher interdimensional vibrations, you have the potential to open yourself up to the negative. So you need to know what that is. In the Ra channelings through Carla Ruckert, And, you know, I cross-referenced lots and lots and lots of channelings. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about what happened in Egypt. And that if you haven't actually listened to the Egyptian connection, I highly, highly recommend it. Because this is such a fascinating insight into the interface between them and us. Because they have tried throughout our history to create seeds of positive energy that would grow into something that could evolve the entire human race. And every time that's happened, it's been derailed by the negative. So it goes back to Egypt, which started, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it started with David Wilcock and Ra-Ta. And David is actually saying this publicly now. It's something that when I was studying David, I said, oh my God, and I figured it out. But I didn't put it in the book, but it was fairly well clear to me that the Edgar Cayce past life as Ra-Ta in Egypt as a high priest was an attempt by the Ra group to build the pyramids, to create anchor points of energy in this realm, and to create the beginnings of a seed of evolution for the entire realm. And the negative, or the priests at that time, who were desirous of power, took this interdimensional connection, and it became the beginning of the what's called the negative elite, the Illuminati, the negative that uses Egyptian rituals as part of their tradition, but yet they're certainly not connecting with the same energy. At least I don't see them connecting with the same energy that the Ra group has when it's direct and not through that line. So, in fact, I do believe they're connecting with channeled energies that might be mimicking the Ra group or looking like it. So this is why the evolution of this realm is so tricky, and that why discernment is so important, to learn how to tell the negative from the positive. And, you know, in all the written material that I put out, I always explain that in great detail in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce in that package, and the Carla Record channelings, the Ra channelings. And you see, the thing is, the first thing you have to do is apply your discernment to that work. You can't just accept it because it's Edgar Cayce or David Wilcock or me. You learn the criteria, and then you won't be able to be fooled easily. And that is not necessarily what I was going to talk about. But I do believe Neil Donald Walsh was probably, my take, was part of the Ra group, but I don't know that for sure. I never asked it. And quite frankly, I don't want to ask it because he is his own person, and he's created a great contribution for many people. And I don't want to, like, be the expert, you know, defining what he does. I honor it and think it's positive, and that's all. But I know that as I read different people who are channels, like, one thing, if you've never checked it out, is there's a woman named Liara, and she has a website called OperationTerra.com, and she's got two books on her website, which are totally channeled by the Elohim. And interestingly enough, I had discovered her two books, which you can download for free. I had discovered her two books when I was in the initial stages of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I found I was not involved in any channeling experience at that time, but I was trying to convince myself that what I was putting forth in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was no mistake. So I was cross-referencing with lots of other channeled material, including Carla Rucker, including Operation Terra, and it was fairly well impeccable, the correlations, at least on the materials that I had chosen to cross-reference. Now, there were other materials that I didn't even talk about this. And I wondered why they would be so far off. And what I started to see was that there were channelings that were kind of tying up people's attention, but were not delivering a high vibration. And people would become believers, and their attention and their belief would be tied up with this particular thing, but they were not actually elevating their consciousness. At least I didn't feel that uplifting of vibration. And in fact, I've spent many times at trade shows or fairs, and I used to sell at fairs, but in particular, things like the Conscious Life Expo, which tended to emphasize New Age things, and I did a little test. You know, you guys can use the same test if you're trying to figure out where something is coming from. And that is, if I stood in front of a booth and shut my eyes, and I didn't talk to the person, I didn't find out what their philosophy was, but if I just stood in front of their booth, I could feel an upliftment of energy in most of those things that were positive, because if they were really positive, they were going to be bringing in group soul energy or higher vibrations, whatever, even if they didn't know it. They would bring that in, and it would lift the vibrational field around that booth. And if they were just bringing in a mental philosophy or something that on the surface sounded good, and it was even the right ideas, I couldn't feel the energy because it was contracted. And, you know, I started to learn that whenever I gave live presentations, that the people present would feel that energy. And even when I didn't talk about the Elohim, when I just started giving talks on my book, people would leave the room and buy the book, and Terry would be selling the books, and she would make she would hear their comments like, geez, I could see auras in the room. I could see the light come down on everybody. So, you know, this is how I was learning how they worked. And, you know, I know it wasn't me doing it. I mean, some days I would give a live talk and I would feel, how can I say it? I would be in my unworthy side. I said, geez, I can't go in front of those people. They're going to see my unworthy side. I'm going to blow it. I'm going to have to pretend I'm something that I'm not. It doesn't matter. No matter how I felt, once I started talking, they would come in. And it's actually the same thing on this Monday night call. I mean, I really didn't want to find something to talk about every Monday night and try to be interesting and have guests. I wasn't sure how this was going to work. And then I noticed that no matter what I talked about, they would be here. I mean, you guys, I think some of you are feeling that. Even when there's not channeling, they are paying attention to this work, and they're adding their energies to it so that people can feel the connection. And that's why I keep doing these calls, because I know it's very important to keep that reference point going for people. It's like if you give people hope and then there's nothing there to hold on to, then it's hard. It takes a while, sometimes a long while. I've watched people who one of the things I can say is just by continually coming into these calls, just by showing up, there'll be a something happening that, at least for most people, that will start to shift and open their consciousness. And it doesn't have to do with what I say. It may, occasionally maybe I'll say something that triggers something that says an aha experience or something you can do. But the real benefit of this is they're here. And no matter where you are on the planet, they can connect with you. And you don't have to do anything except be neutral and open, and you feel those energies start to work. So there's a lot of things that we've done as an experimental basis, and sometimes I just say, okay, we'll just bring those energies in and you guys will feel them. And I'm not doing that. They're doing it, but they're just paying attention to me so that they want someone down here to create that access. And the bottom line is that as you learn to feel those energies and you keep feeling them and you see, you just have to ask and they're there, it may not happen for a while, but sooner or later, you'll find that you just ask and you can bring them in and you can be an anchor of this energy for the space around you just by asking, just by saying their name, just by reading some of the words in their channelings out loud to another person. That's a really effective thing to do, to get a partner and just read out loud from the questions and answers with the Elohim or reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And as you do that, you will then invoke their energies and start the energy flowing in your space. Now, when we talk about this stuff, this does not, how can I say it? I can't find the right word. Does not make you not your own person. Does not make you not have to make decisions about your own life. Does not remove you from the challenge of being grounded in this realm. Because if you don't ground yourself at the same time you're dealing with these energies, you're going to be a space case. And also you'll be vulnerable to negative attacks, more vulnerable to negative attacks. Because it's the grounding that creates safety. So what is grounding? Grounding means have a place to live, have food to eat, have good friends, have a partner if that's part of your path. But it's like the goal is not to remove yourself from everyone and think, oh my God, I'm connecting with these group souls, so now nothing fits anymore, and I'm just going to be a space case. Doesn't work for me. And so sometimes we don't talk enough about that. Sometimes we just talk about all this stuff and we bring in their energies. And I think that I'm going to try to include these ideas of grounding because it's within the aspects of grounding that we have to flow through our human matrix and we confront our human problems, our human challenges, our places where things are stuck inside of ourselves. And, of course, a lot of people write books about that, how to be successful, how to love somebody, how to have an intimate relationship, how to be in your maleness or your femaleness. And these are all valuable books. And having connection with the Elohim and Ra does not absolve you from dealing with your humanness. It only can help because it adds another aspect to it. Now, some people, their path is to not deny, but be on the path of sacrifice. So they'll sacrifice certain of their human instincts to do a higher service. And that's okay. It's just like, see, everyone's different. Everything's different. Every person's different. And when we come together on these calls, it's just a coming together. And we all have to go back into our individual separate humannesses and learn how to apply and use these things, because we are human and we are in this realm. And in fact, in one of the channelings on ascension that I asked about, they said, you know, that if you want to ascend, if you want to ascend with your body, then all your chakras have to be open. And the greater majority of people in this realm are going to graduate with their physical bodies dying and their astral bodies ascending and reincarnating on this higher dimensional earth. So guess what? Terry just came in, and I'll bet they want to say something. Do they want to say something? Here we go.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are pleased to be with you today. We heard much of the talk, and are connecting with you, each and every one, on this line. Wynn has left the room, or we would ask if he had questions. It is a give and a take, in that we do not take one space over. We are very mindful of the individual's free will, and we are of service, so that if someone has a need, then they can express it, and we will get the intention, and also the intention that one wishes to be helped with the means, or whatever it is they wish to invoke. There is much static suddenly on the line. We will turn this talk over to Winfried Adenoy.
See, they give it to me when they're static on the line. They come in, and then they create all this energy, and then we get static on the line. And I think we have, like, about, let me see here. I think we have about 6 minutes left. And maybe I'll, if anybody, I don't know the call-in number for BBS, but I'll open it up if anyone wants to ask questions, either on the line or on BBS. And maybe they will answer the questions. For your guys' information, Matthew's on a leave of absence right now. So on the Wednesday call, I haven't really decided. We may have Terry answering questions, if she can handle it. You know, she gets off from work and goes into the McDonald's parking lot. And if she can... Sometimes when she channels, she gets really tired, and then she can't, has a hard time at work. So we might try it and see how it works for the questions that come in. And if any of you have any questions, you can do *6, I believe, and unmute yourself.
Hi, Wynn. This is Suzanne.
Yes, Suzanne.
You know, you just talked about the majority of the people in the room will end up not dying and go in their astral body?
Yeah.
Have they ever spoken about the kind of death? Would that be a harmonious kind of death? Or have they ever commented on that?
Well, they actually did, and they actually said that in the future there may be people dying that would not be harmonious, what I would call a harmonious death, and yet they would still graduate. As long as, I guess, the requisite 51% heart being open. Of course, you know, it's one thing to have an uncomfortable death, and it's, you know, I believe I asked the question, you know, death is something that creates fear for people. So if someone has a death oncoming and fear is involved, I still think that if they've, the majority of their life, they've been holding their heart open, that when they die, they'll leave that behind. It would be as if there are people who live in physical bodies that have a lot of pain in their bodies. They have some kind of physical disability. And they can still die and leave their body, and the pain is left. And at that moment, they can lift up to a higher realm, and they're not carrying that anymore. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, I can. I verify everything you said. I just wondered, I can't imagine ascending, having it be a excruciating, unless it's a karmic path. If it's not karmic, then I can imagine it being a beautiful experience if one knows what it's all about.
Well, I think that, I don't want to say how they said people were going to die. I don't want to say that, but they did describe a circumstance where lots of people might die in a way that would be uncomfortable and somewhat painful, but that would not block them from graduating from this realm.
Right. Okay, well, thank you.
Still graduate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they said that could be, I think, is the word ameliorated? Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's, uh-huh.
Yeah, it didn't have to happen in that way. That was like one possibility vortex, probability, mm-hmm. possibility vortex. But it would depend on the kind of work we're doing and other people like us that can lift the vibration so that it would be a different outcome, okay?
Right, yeah.
So there's a lot of things happening. I mean, you know, if you're tracking David is trying to make a movie. I've got things there trying to make a movie. We had a meeting last week with some guy that has produced huge TV pilots that have gone into major shows that was totally taken with my story. You know, it's not easy to get these things in the cracks, but mm-hmm. if the right cracks open up, And as they say oftentimes on our Sunday channelings, there's more and more indigo and crystal children who are having positions of power, who are extremely resonant with all of this stuff, and that when it gets to them, they will cause something to happen. So mm-hmm. these are a lot of the things that are going on right now. And I would say that anyone who is listening to these calls regularly is in positions to do things that other people are not. They know what's going on. And one of the things about, this is a key here, one of the things about connecting to these higher sources is to create some kind of physical circumstance where when you do it, they have to be present. Like, for example, invite someone over to your home and call in the light, or have them listen to, you know, invite somebody over for our Sunday morning grid healing. Or, you see, if you create the intention to get together with another person to have a higher experience, then that is that's making a demand for them to show up. Whereas if you just are hanging out with somebody and say, let's go to dinner and let's, you know, go to a movie or let's do something, that's not creating the demand. That's creating a personal interaction. So anyone can just make an appointment and say, let's get together and pray. And they don't have to understand all this stuff. Anyone can sit and call in the light and shut their eyes with another person, and they will find out that the energy shows up. All you got to do is do it. So it's like taking some kind of initiative action that requires the energy to be there, and it will. As far as I can tell, it will. That's been my experience. And what I also know is the closer you get to taking that action, the more resistance you will have. And every part of you will say, I can't do that. I'm not worthy. I'm not going to do that. What will my friends say if I invite them over and say we're going to pray together, or we're going to call in the energy, or I'm going to read from a book? She's going to think I'm a wacko. You go through all this resistance, and in many cases, the resistance will lock you. It's like I go through it. I mean, I say, believe me, when I started coming on the radio, I said, I don't want to be on the radio every week. What am I going to talk about? What if a bunch of people think I have the answers? No, I don't want that responsibility. And it's like I had to, like, talk myself through it to do it, and so I'm doing it. And it's now kind of become second nature. So there's things that anyone can do that will require this energy to be present, but they have to move through their own resistance in order to have it occur. So I believe it's time to end this call. And let me see, what time is it? It is 6:50. So the way VBS works is this show, my show actually starts at 5 to 6 and ends at 10 of 7. So, and the reason they do it that way is because they have two shows going simultaneously, and they don't have enough engineers to switch them both at the same time. So they got to do one at 5 of 6 and one at 6. So if you're on BBS, thank you for being here. You can go to, if you haven't signed up, go to messageaday.net, and you'll get emails every day. And it seems like these guys we're talking about are working with those emails. So if you read them with the right attention, it helps you stay connected. And keep aware, if you're on the conference call right now and you called in, we may change the number back next Monday, so pay attention. And also, if you're not subscribed to the Spirit Channel at messageaday.net, you'll get the downloads of all these things. Let me say that. Just send an email to the Spirit Channel with no spaces and the word the included, the Spirit Channel at messageaday.net. And that will trigger an autoresponder that will allow you to get notices of all our conference calls with the downloads and other things. So on that note, we're going to say goodbye to BBS. And let me see here.
Press 1 to stop recording this time. Recording has stopped.
So we've stopped recording our conference call. And we'll just take, maybe call in the light officially and take a couple of minutes of silence. And when we do this silence, you know, keep in mind that if I have it correct, their energies are on the line and available to work with you. So we've had a number of instances where people have been on the line and had healings, had amazing things happen. So the next one could be you. I don't know when and where this will happen, but we're dealing with energies that have the ability to do that. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke, we request, we intend a blending of all of our energies on this line. For those that are free-willingly choosing to participate. And we ask those energies from higher dimensions, those consciousnesses, to join with our energies. We create a huge group energy. And with this group energy, we can have intention, or we can just experience it. So I would add the intention that this energy supports all of those people on our planet who are praying, reaching for higher purpose, want peace. We help be a voice or a focus for those energies right in this moment. And that all of you on this line can have all your hopes and dreams fulfilled for the highest good of all concerned. We'll take a few minutes, a couple minutes of silence, and just you can think your own individual request during this period.